Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. Excited to be in church tonight?
Amen.
Amen. You know, I'm always excited to be in church. I'm always excited for the Word of God. You know, this has been interesting this week as I've been before the Lord. I've been getting all these messages but keep coming to me. And so today was a little bit of sorting out, trying to decide which one I was supposed to preach. Amen. But can you bring me down just a hair? I'm a little bit echoey up here or something. But praise God. I believe tonight's message is going to help us. Amen. I don't know if you got the faith fixed today. But if you did and you read it, praise the Lord, that's in the vein of what we're preaching, what I'm preaching on. Amen. You know, this is something that just stirred in me. Of course, my wife said, you know, as she was looking at things, she's like, you know, that kind of goes in line with what she preached last week and, you know, even Sunday's message and what Reverend Greer was preaching. And though I didn't necessarily intend it that way, you know, honestly, this message came to me in a very interesting way, as they usually do. I just love how the Lord speaks to me. I love how that I've learned something about that. Amen. I say something. I don't mean everything. Amen. But I've learned a little bit about how God wants to talk to me about things. And, you know, this just came out. I mean, we literally woke up and started putting pen to paper, so to speak, and that's where the message came from. Amen. And I just love that I get to spend some time with God and that He'll show me these things. But God's got a good plan for us. Amen. He's got a good word for us. And we just need to be a people that endeavor to get into all He has for us. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, tonight's message is called The Oracles of God. Amen. I see two people are excited about that. The oracles of God. Praise the Lord. The oracles of God. What is this? Of course, we're going to find out in Scripture what this is, you know. But we understand that speaking, of course, this is referring to speaking as the oracles of God. We understand that, you know, speaking as oracles of God means that you're speaking as God Himself or what God would say, you know. You know, I think it goes along with this, but, you know, I think about we have in the United States, we have something that we call ambassadors. Amen. To foreign nations, we send ambassadors to other countries, ambassadors to the United Nations and stuff like that to talk to other countries. But when that ambassador is in another country, they speak on behalf of the United States and even the president himself. Amen. And so he, in a sense, an ambassador, and actually one of the definitions of oracle is ambassador. Ambassador is somebody who speaks on behalf of another, and they're given authority within that realm. Amen. And so, as Christians, we are ambassadors. But as a pastor, I am also an ambassador. Amen. And in different levels, of course. So this message is going to describe at least part of what my job is and what the Lord has for me to do. But it's going to help you because it's going to help you to understand what that job is. Amen. It is about the pastoral office in a degree, but I'm sure that God will take us into some other places. So praise God. We want to get all that God has for us. Amen. You know, there is such an attack on the body of Christ in certain areas. And we can, you know, the Bible says that the devil can appear as an angel of light. And what it means by that is that the devil can appear as something that's good. Amen. And the devil is always going to attack our thoughts. He's always going to attack the places. You know, I was thinking about this as I was getting into this afternoon. I say that God could appear, you've heard me say it a lot lately, but God could appear 500 feet over Chautauqua Lake, you know, and, there's a question I want to ask you about that. You know, have you seen God lately? Have you actually physically seen God? Well, we know that He's working, right? Well, have you seen the devil lately? Same, I've never seen the devil. I've never had an encounter with Satan himself. I've never seen him. I mean, I've been aware of demons and different things, spirits, evil spirits, and stuff like that over the years. But I've never actually seen the devil himself. You know, and that's something that we need to take to heart. Something that we need to really understand. You know, just because we don't see things doesn't mean that they're not there. But you know, we want to not be deceived by the devil. We don't want to be, and I don't want to get him my message too far, but we need to make sure that we understand how the devil attacks us, how the devil attacks the people in the body of Christ, and it's not always what we think it is. Amen. Well, we're going to start in Ephesians 4:8. Praise the Lord. This is where we start talking about, you know, the Bible talks about the ministry offices. Amen. And this just seemed like a good place to start for this message. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Ephesians 4:8. It says, therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Praise the Lord. I want to read, no just 4:8. Now I want to skip down to verse 10, okay? Because verse 9 kind of explains some things, amen? Verse 10, actually, too. He who descended into, also is the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. To all Christians, this is maybe one of the top important scriptures, not the top, but maybe one of the top important scriptures to understand. These ministry offices were given to us for a very specific purpose. And it is very important that we understand when God is telling us something that he's done on purpose, we need to understand it. It's up to us to take full advantage of that, to fully understand what is involved in that. Amen? You know, I've been talking to some people. Actually, I don't want to get too much detail just because I don't want, it's not somebody who goes to this church, but in case they were to hear, which is a possibility, I don't want them to, you know, think that I was just talking about them. But I've been talking recently to a few Christians that aren't really churchgoers. Amen. And it's interesting as I talk to people, you know, like this out there, that they knew enough to get saved. It seemed right, good enough that they knew that they needed to get saved, but they never really made a connection, or they didn't continue in that connection with being saved. You know, walking in the plan and the will of God is not possible if you don't do it God's way. And we understand that the ministry offices were given to us for a very specific purpose. And of course, we see this here for the, praise the Lord, I want to, let me see. Yeah, verse 12. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Amen. Now, of course, we talk a lot about the body of Christ and the importance of coming together and why we all need to be together and how we feed each other, how we help each other. Amen. But this idea, this concept of the edification of the body of Christ is really, really interesting. Edifying means building up. Means or to build up, amen. But there is a word in there that I caught my eye this afternoon as I was in it, or this morning, is the word architecture. Praise the Lord. That word architecture is in there, or implied in there, amen. Now we understand that architecture is a very specific thing, isn't it? You know, there's if you go around the hills here, you can drive around. If you have an eye, you can spot a lot of do-it-yourself projects. Amen. You can see a lot of buildings that don't quite look so good, or you see a lot of stuff that's a little bit wonky out there. You know, how many know that an architect didn't design that? You know, some good old boy got out there with hammer, nails, and a saw, and he decided to add on to his house. You know, and sometimes we're like, well, why did it go that way or that? Well, it's just the way that it worked out. There wasn't much planning involved in it. They just start grabbing some boards, putting them together, and then they have a building. Now, that's fine and dandy, but those aren't the places that are the most desirable. Amen. Now, if you go over here to Chautauqua Institution, where everything has been planned out and laid out, amen, there's architects and landscape architects that worked in there, amen, and very, very purposeful. Well, people aren't flocking to go to these, to this trailer that's had a roof built over it. Amen. If you live in a trailer with a roof built over it, praise the Lord. I'm not knocking you. I'm just saying that you're not having hordes of people flocking there to go vacation at your home. Amen. But you have a place like Chautauqua Institution where you do see that. And why is that? Because there's something in planning. Now, of course, we know there's stability in planning, that there's a draw to when things are planned and beautiful. There's a great importance. You can tell that something is special by the way that it looks, by the way that it's designed. Design has purpose. Amen? It has purpose. It has all kinds of purpose. There's, you know, when you design or when I designed this room, amen, every inch of this space was thought of. Why? Well, we wanted to make sure. The reason the heaters are up by the ceiling is because we wanted to make sure we didn't take up any floor space using heaters, because if we did, we would have had to lose a row of chairs. If we lost a row of chairs, that's another group of people that couldn't get in here. So we maximize the space through design and planning, amen? The lights in here, you know, I didn't just go in there to, actually, when I was designing the space, I was sitting there thinking, I'm like, it was kind of a conundrum to me a little bit. How many lights do you need in a space? Normally, I'm used to working in rooms, right? If you have a living room, well, praise the Lord, or a bedroom or whatever, you put one light in the middle of the room. It's real easy, right? If you have a big room, sometimes you might put two lights in there, amen? But what do you do with a room, a church room? Anyone know how many lights you put in here? I didn't know either, amen? And so I actually was at a church service, and I was looking at the ceiling, what you're not supposed to do, what I'd yell at you for, amen? I was looking at the ceiling, like, oh, yeah, that works out. So it's about this much spacing in between, so I figured it out, amen? And there seems to be enough light in here, glory to God. But it was thought of, it was planned. If we didn't think of it, you know, there's things that we didn't think of, amen, that we wish we would have thought of, you know? And, of course, that's every building project. But that word architecture, building up, edifying of the body of Christ, building up the body of Christ, planning in the body of Christ. See, Christians are Christians want a good life. They want their prayers answered. They want a relationship with God. Praise the Lord. If they're at all good Christians, these are things they want. But they don't realize that there's a planning that goes into that. It doesn't just happen. It doesn't just happen because you desire it. It doesn't just happen because you want it. It happens according to how you're connected. And in these scriptures here, we see that God gave us these ministry offices to ensure that these things would happen. Amen. When we would talk about the, you know, back about building projects, and think about the Erie project, you know, you can go in there, you can go in Erie, and they have building inspectors that are like, they're darn near Nazis. I mean, they are just after it. They will try to call you out on everything, and they will change their tune one way or another depending on how they feel that day. Praise the Lord. But if you hire an architect, a planner, somebody who's licensed, they'll listen, and they'll change their tune. And there's something that you might have thought about, they'll just let them do because an architect said it was okay. Why? Because in that, it takes the responsibility off the building inspector. So if the building falls down and somebody sues, they sue the architect, they can't sue the building inspector or whatever. So it does make sense. But we see this, again, in reflection to us, that it's important to understand that there is a need for planning. There isn't, especially if you're going to follow a plan, you need to know what that plan is, amen, and you need to be connected to it. And the thing is about God's plan is we never get God's plan all rolled out in one swoop. God's plan comes to us over a period of time. As we're faithful, as we're hungry, as we reach out to God, He reaches back to us. So Christians who live without these ministry offices, people who live without these things, they're missing out on all this stuff. They're missing out on all the planning. People, you know, we encourage people to be in church, and we don't do so because we just want numbers here. We do so because we understand the importance of these scriptures. Amen. Praise the Lord. Do not be unaware of the devil's devices. You know, like I asked you, how many people saw God today? How many people saw the devil today? Well, you didn't, but you know both were active. Both were active. We have to understand, and especially we have to understand that the devil is active. One of the devil's number one things that he tries to do is separate Christians from their pastor. Yeah. It's one of the number one things they do. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how knowledgeable you are. We are all called to be connected to someone. Why? Because God is not going to go outside the bounds of the way He does things just because you don't want to follow Him. Amen? And so we have to understand that this doesn't start just with people walking out the door. There's many people that sit in church. There's many people that sit in this church that love us as pastors, but they don't fully connect to us. There's people that love us in this church, have been with us from the very beginning. I could name names. I'm not going to do that, and you know, I'm still contending with them and hope, you know, helping them, want to help them. But there's people that have been connected with us in the sense they come every Sunday, but they still haven't fully jumped into that idea of that there's of the full importance of what's being set up here every single week. People still kind of revert back to that idea that when the word is preached, I can just spin it, or I can just add. And I'm not saying that's never possible. Of course it is possible. But we're given the word to look at, to balance us. You know, I can point this out to you. And as I think as I read these scriptures to you and then explain them and talk about them, I don't think there's anyone here that's going, you know, that just doesn't sound right. No, because we're explaining it the way that it's, you know, the way that it's intended. It's not that hard to understand. Now, there's things sometimes with, you know, there's sometimes things that can be hard to understand. I get questions all the time, and I don't mind questions, you know, like that. But we do have to, and sometimes things have to be understood by kind of by what they call type and shadows, or an understanding of a thing. You know, the Bible will explain something that happens. Actually, I think we're going to see that tonight. But we have to take the idea of what's going on out of it. Amen? But when you look at what was going on, you can get the idea of what was happening. Amen? Well, praise the Lord. Glory to God. So we see here that it's very important to understand this. How does this relate to the message that we're speaking about as far as the oracles of God? We have to understand, we're going to see that in Scripture, that one who speaks is supposed to speak as the oracles of God. They speak as one who has been given permission and given the word to deliver. And so not just in, and I've learned this in my life, I'm just going to help you with something here. You can take care to leave it. But we need to learn what our goal needs to be as we come in, as Christians come in, our goal needs to be to learn how to trust the place that God has placed me. Yeah. Trust what, now I'm not saying blindly be led into whatever. That's not what I'm saying. There's a difference in those things. That's how cults are formed. That's not what we're talking about here. What I'm talking about is we need to, if you read the Faith Fix, we talked about searching the word daily. You know, there was one group, I think, in the book of Acts, it talks about one group that searched the word daily to see if the things they were preaching were right. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. We need to do that. We need to understand that. We need to get understanding of the word. Amen? For ourselves, but we can't separate the fact that God will speak through a man or woman into our lives. I'm so thankful that I've learned this over the years. One of the things I've had to learn with my pastor is I've learned the difference of when my pastor, because I've spent so much time with him, and not everybody's going to be able to do that, but I've spent so much time with my pastor that I've started to learn that there's times when we're around each other that he'll speak to me just as a human. Just as a typical any one of us, amen, opinions, ideas, and stuff like that, and that's fine. And we all have those, and that's fine. That's good. God's given us that ability to. We just have to discern when the right time to use those are, right? But also, we have to discern sometimes when the right time to accept those things are. And that's why I always present when I'm going to make a major decision. I can tell you I don't think I've ever made or haven't made many major decisions in the past 5 years for myself or for this church without submitting it both to my pastor and my pastor's pastor. And why is that? Because they speak as the oracles of God in my life, and I recognize that. And because I recognize that, I get blessed from that connection. Amen. So many people, the devil is trying to separate that, and he does it in various ways. I want to go back to that idea, because as you're sitting there in service and a message is preached, you might just have one little thought that you have to, the Bible says to test the spirits. We need to test those thoughts and say, you know, is that thought from God? Is that a right thought? Or is that just something that's trying to separate me from what God's trying to get over to me? Amen. And sometimes they'll come in little ways. One of the most popular things to do today is to not even to recognize the office of pastor. When they look at the person preaching, they'll just say, hey, that's Jeff or that's Renee. Listen, that's dangerous stuff. And why is that dangerous stuff? Because we're so pricky about having a pastor before our names. You know, we need to be self-exalted like that. No, it's recognizing the office that is there. Amen. If the president of the United States came into the room, you would probably address him as president. It would be a shame if you didn't. Amen. If the governor of the state came in, and you would address him as governor. You would give him that honor and that. Listen, I don't agree with our governor. Probably, less than many people. I still pray for him, and I still would address him. I would still give him honor. If I heard that he was coming, I would come here myself and make sure everything was clean. Why? Not because I agree with him, because of the office he stands in. See, we have to get back to this idea that the office is important. The office does matter. And that when things are said, it's not. It's oftentimes not just out of just the flesh. I'm going to give you an example. Praise the Lord. My brother Scott Lashbrook over here, whenever we get together once in a while, I get together with several people, and many of you know that. Whenever I get together with Scott, I can tell you almost every single time I think of, I've left the conversation refreshed. And why does a pastor leave refreshed? Because what Scott does is he sits there and he pulls on the gift. He asks questions. He wants to know more. He wants to know how I'm seeing something. Now Scott's knowledgeable in the Word and stuff like that. It's not he may know more of the Word than I do. But he, in those moments, he recognizes that there is an office there that he's trying to tap into. That if we get together, it's not just because we just want to hang out. Not that that would be bad or whatever. But just that he's recognizing that he has this much time and he wants to get stuff. And that's the same thing I do with my pastor. And that's why when you learn to draw on that anointing, you will pull things out, amen? And what it does is it refreshes the one at the same time who is giving out, amen? There's been many conversations I've had like that, not just with Scott, but with others, where afterwards it's like, I mean, I just preached a good sermon, hallelujah. And it was, I had that today with somebody didn't even know it. I think it was God being gracious on them, but the just stuff started flowing out of me, and it was the Spirit that was doing it. I know, because I can sense that. I know that anointing. Amen. Praise the Lord. It flows and it's good. Amen. But the devil is constantly trying to separate people from that. That's just a man. That's just a woman. That's just. Listen, and you see me outside of here, praise the Lord. You're seeing man, my wife, woman. You know what I mean? You're just you might catch us if you stop by our house. You might catch us, in our underwear. We're just hanging out. We're just being us. Amen. You know what I mean? We're not necessarily the office is working at that moment. It doesn't work like 24 hours a day, 7 days a week like that. It's not always on. But we can tap into that if we learn to do so. Amen. And it's good when we do, amen? It's good to draw on those things and to recognize those things. But that's why we're in the family churches. I even brought this up this week to my pastor. I was like, when two pastors are hanging out together, it was like, is it wrong for them? And I was just bringing up the question just to bring it up. Is it wrong for them to just come call each other, Bob and Joe or whatever? And he was like, I wouldn't. My pastor, he's over me in the Lord. Hallelujah. Completely submitted to him. Everything I, when I'm with him, everything I try to do, I try to line up with what I think he wants to do. Yeah. Why? Because I'm submitted to him. He's over me in the Lord. I honor that. And because of that, I reap from it. Amen. But when I do that, or when we're together, he still always refers to me as Pastor Jeff. He always refers to me as Pastor Jeff. Why? Because he recognizes the office. Not because he's receiving from it, but he's just going to honor the Lord because he knows that the Lord has put that office on my life. I never just become Jeff to him. Now, every once in a while, if there's, for the sake of other people, every once in a great while, if he's introducing me to somebody, we've been on these a lot of these little trips together, just personal trips, and he's introduced me to somebody for something, and just for the sake of it being weird, he would introduce me as just Jeff, but that's happened just a few times, but I'm never bothered, of course, by it, but, that person isn't going to be fed by us or anything like that, so it's not a. But he recognizes that gift. He recognizes, and we need to as we need to as well. Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. I want you to look at Matthew 26:31 up here. This is a very important scripture, and this is one that I was talking about. We have to understand the idea of what's happening here. Of course, Jesus was speaking of himself here, but he says, "Then Jesus said to them, 'All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night.'" For it is written, and it's written in the book of Zechariah, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. Praise the Lord. That's what it means. Yeah, it's a heavy verse. But this is one we need to understand. We need to kind of dig into it and understand what we're talking about. You strike the shepherd and the sheep are scattered. What does that mean? Well, of course, Jesus was taken out by, you know, the devil, you know, put him on the cross, and he died, praise the Lord, for it. But we understand that after that happened, everybody was kind of scattered about. What happens every time, you know, you see these big ministers, big-time ministers, big churches, and then all of a sudden one falls, gets into sexual sin or something like that, and one falls, and what happens? Almost always, the sheep are scattered. Amen. But this works on another level as well. And this is back to what I'm talking about. If you strike the importance of the pastor, if you take that, and that's what the devil has done. He's gotten in there and he's taken that importance of the office. He's kind of just, he smote it. Amen. He struck it down. And what happens is the people are scattered. They literally start living their lives scattered and faint. And you see this. Why in so many denominational churches do we see this? Where the people just, they can't live right. And they're just having one trial after the next. And we all know it. If you've been in religion at all, you've been to churches like that. You've been in places. Not because people are bad, but because the whole importance of what the pastor is to them has been struck down, and they're scattered and faint. They live their lives scattered and faint. Why? Because they don't have that grounding. They don't understand that there is an importance there. God said that what he said what you honor, or he said, I will honor those who honor me. He will honor those. Jesus said that. He said, if they won't receive you, he said, kick the dust of your feet off. Yeah. We understand that all these things are actions and how people look to their spiritual leadership. It's important to recognize, you know, I met with the other pastors of Mayville today at lunch. They do it monthly, and I hadn't done it in a while, so I just decided to get together with them. And, you know, I see a lot of this. And I'm not talking bad about them. I love them, you know, as far as I know, you know, they're all serving God or whatever. You know, I don't judge that. But there, you can see a lot of this in denominationalism. You can see a lot of the smiting or the scattering, amen? Yeah, because there's no real, you know, the job of a pastor is almost, in a lot of respects, I'm not saying with everybody, but in a lot of respects, is almost just something anybody can do. You know, if we just need somebody to fill the pulpit, so we're just going to have someone so-and-so. There's no thought to it. You know, every single person that we put in this pulpit has been tried and tested, and is somebody who is honorable, and somebody who is loves the local church, and somebody who understands God and has proven themselves in ministry and in life. Glory to God. We don't just put people in and those are the other ministry offices. But this isn't a concept that we really need to understand. And we need to be aware of the devil's devices. We need to understand that when those thoughts of offense come and stuff like that, what it is it's the devil just trying to separate you from how God's going to bless you. Now listen, I'm not going to say everything I say in life is not going to be God. I wish it was, but it's not. There'll be times where I'll preach something and maybe it'll come out of my flesh a little bit. That's possible. It's happened before. I'm sure it could happen again. Amen. That's not the point. There's times when we need to let things go. You know what I mean? There's times when we need to be like, all right, or whatever. You know, it's just not important to dwell on. We have to know where God has called us. And when we know where God has called us, we know that we're there for a reason. And the only reason that I would be separated from where God has called me is because of either someone stops serving God, start preaching something that wasn't truth. You know, I'm not saying missed it in an area, but I'm talking about preaching doctrine that isn't truth. Or God has called me on. But if God calls us on, there's more than just one witness. And that witness is very very unlikely to be just you. There's more witnesses to that. Amen. The devil loves when he gets people scattered. When people can, this is how people become church hoppers, because they can go one church to the next and never really see the importance of it. This has done great disservice in the body of Christ, because we have a whole group of Christians out there that don't even see the importance of being planted in the local church. They really just, they believe they're doing the best that they can, But they've been taught that it's not important. You know, Paul said, I magnify my ministry. I have to as well, not because for my sake, but for the sake of the sheep. Amen. And this is why we do things certain ways and like we do. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me to 1 Peter. Glory to God. The word always answers our questions. It always helps us. And what I love about this, the greatest gift I can say that I've ever been given other than salvation was that of a pastor. Everything in my life is and continually is connected. Every blessing that we receive has been connected to the way the Lord has used that man in my life. And how is it? Just because he is who he is? No, because of what God does through him. You know, if you spend any time with anybody, you're going to find lots of personal flaws. It's just inevitable. You can. I've spent an enormous amount of time with my pastor. In fact, one thing I have to watch when I spend time with him is I have to watch offense. I have to make sure that I'm not getting offended over certain things, because I do. There's a temptation to be. But I need to get over it quickly. Praise the Lord. Because it's not a blessing to me when that's there. It's just like being offended at your spouse. You know, how many people have been blessed by being offended at their spouse? How many people have been blessed by that fight that you had with you're never blessed by it. In fact, what do you always end up doing? If the relationship continues, you always end up, somebody always ends up submitting to the other or both to each other, which is the way it should be, amen? So we might as well just get there quickly, amen? Just get to the end real quickly, amen? 1 Peter 4:7, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. Oh, that the church of God would pray seriously and watchfully. You know, this is not, you know, it's funny, the importance on, when you look at any scripture on praying, the importance on prayer in scripture, very, very, very little has anything to do with what you need. Has very little to do with what you want. All the importance on prayer is praying for other people. And yet Christians still, what they do, they spend most of their prayers praying for themselves. I know, because I've been there. I remember one time when Pastor Katie, I was working at their house, and Pastor Katie asked me, she goes, what do you pray most for? And I was like, my needs. And I knew it was wrong, but that's what I was just answering correctly. My wife and I were in that time period where we had been tithing and giving and serving and all those things, and nothing seemed to be happening. What were we doing? We were being focused on our stuff. We were doing exactly what the devil planned. We were focused on our own stuff instead of praying for other people, instead of praying for other things. Instead of lifting up the ministry, we were focused in our own lives. God said he'd supply that if you focus on the right area. Amen. Well, praise God. And above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. I love that scripture. Oh, my God. If we just get love right, if we just focus on love, even if there's nothing else we can do, but we just focus on love, covers a multitude of sins. Listen, you won't be right every single time. But if you focus on love, oh, glory to God. Husbands and wives, this is how you make a heaven on earth relationship. Notice I said how you make it. You focus on love. I look at my wife and I say, I love her too much to continue in this anymore. So it's over. My wife looks at me and says, I love him too much for this to continue on. So she takes a few hours and then it's over. That's a joke. Hallelujah. No, we get over it quickly. Why? Because love covers a multitude of sins. It just does. It wipes it up. Amen. This is why David, King David, oh, such a mighty man of God. And God said, a man after God's own heart. Man, look at the horrible stuff that he did. And God still loved him. Praise the Lord. That gives me hope. I don't know about you, but love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Oh, hallelujah. Without grumbling. Hospitable to one another. Listen, we are brothers and sisters in the faith. You can get mad at me. I can get mad at you. But I'm just going to tell you the truth right now. We're all going in the same direction. We all want the same things. So let's get over it. Let's just move on to loving each other without grumbling. You know, give each other that space that we need. Amen. Praise the Lord. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Oh, I love that word gift. We're going to get into that in a minute. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So now there is a side to this. Not all people speak as the oracles of God. Not all people minister with the ability that God supplies. But it's important that we do. I can tell you that when I minister, I'm ministering with the ability that God supplies. How do I know that? Because I know I had no supply in and of myself. I couldn't do it by myself. Amen. I'm going to be completely honest with you. Stepping into the pulpit tonight was the last thing I wanted to do today. The last thing I wanted to do. I didn't have a day where I was super spiritual in prayer. I tried to pray, and it was just like every time I was praying, it was dry, and it just was like not happening, and it just felt so heavy and all this thing. We go to. I didn't want to get up here. Praise the Lord. But I'm ministering by the unction and the direction of the Holy Ghost. Amen. If I didn't, I wouldn't have anything to say to you because I don't have this stuff written down. I think it's a sign and a wonder. I mean, I invite anybody to check my notes anytime. I think it's a sign and wonder. In this case, this is how God uses me. And it's a sign and a wonder and a testament to that. Amen. I didn't just come up with this stuff on my own. I'm not that smart. Amen. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. Praise the Lord. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Now, God's grace is what? God's ability, right? Amen. Now, that word gift is a really interesting word. Hallelujah. The word is charisma. That's the word. That's the Greek word for gift. Is this gift here, as it's used here, is charisma. Amen. We've heard that word before, right? And this is what it means. Miraculous and essential mental or physical power. Miraculous and essential. That word essential is essential. It's important, right? Miraculous and essential mental or physical power. What is the mental power? Well, when I'm speaking to somebody who's drawing on the gift and it's coming out of me and it's flowing and I have answers for their life, even when they started, I didn't know I was going to get there. Praise the Lord. That's miraculous power of God. When I get up to minister the word of God and I don't have any notes because I'm not that good at preparing them and I don't have any notes, but God can give me a message to preach to people that has revelation and it has meat in it that you can feed and will change your lives. Glory to God. That's miraculous mental power. Praise the Lord. Physical, and of course, physical power, we know that when we lay hands on people. When we pray, you know, one thing that the Lord has been dealing with me about a lot lately is stepping out more. Remember not too long ago, we had a Tuesday night service, and I brought people up, and they brought someone else up, and we prayed, and I kind of helped teach people, like, this is how the flow goes, you know, this is what you need to do out in the world. Well, the Lord's been dealing with me more, is looking for opportunities to pray with people, being so bold in my faith that I'll go, somebody's hurting, and I'll say, can I pray for you? Yeah. Praise the Lord, and putting it to practice. I'm just looking for the opportunity. Give me the opportunity, God, I'm going there, amen. Going up to people who are sick and saying, can I pray for that? You know, my God is a healing God. Yeah. Being bold in those things. And we need that boldness. We need, part of it is us stepping into it, but we have to be willing to step into it. Amen. We're waiting for God to speak to us, but God's bringing, there's opportunities before us all the time. Praise God. Again, there's a situation that's going on in my life right now where God has introduced me to somebody. And I really can't go into too much detail because, again, I'm really trying to reach them and trying to help them. But it's just amazing to me how I've missed something or how I can miss something and hear God working the whole time trying to use me to do it. Amen. And, you know, if you were really curious and you talked to me privately or after or something, I would be happy to share it with you, but just not on the recording or whatever. But God does wonderful things. Amen. He needs to use us, but we need to be willing to step out and do those things. So you see this, again, this is talking about my office, but it's also talking about us as well. We can step out too. But going on, there's more to that definition. Grace or gifts denoting extraordinary powers, distinguishing certain Christians. That's interesting, isn't it? Certain Christians. It's distinguishing certain Christians and enabling them to serve the Church of Christ, the reception of which is due to the power of divine grace operating on their souls by the Holy Spirit. Certain Christians. Not all Christians are walking in power. Not all Christians walk in miraculous healing power. That's the truth. Why is that? Because some don't believe it. You know, I love what Jesus said in Mark 9:23. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. It doesn't leave anything out when it says all things are possible. I love that. Man, hallelujah, that we get a hold of that and say, if we just believe, if we just step up. You know, so much of our stepping out is just believing that you're called to do it. What do you mean? Like, I'm waiting for direction of God. Your direction is right here in Scripture. He said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's your direction. You don't need the Holy Ghost to come upon you and say, witness to that person. Yeah. You can just do it. You can step out. You don't need the Holy Ghost to say, go ask that person for prayer if they need prayer. Amen? No, of course, we want to be balanced and we don't want to be goofy about it. We don't want to just walk down the aisle at Walmart. Need prayer? Need prayer? Need prayer? You know, we got to be balanced in these things. But we look for opportunity, but we take the opportunity. Amen? Praise the Lord. This is what will set our church apart from every other church, because not just the pastors do it. Well, we can get them in here and we can get them help. That's what our goal is, to get people in the local church. But that happens by the believers going out and being the body of Christ. But listen, if you're so distracted by everything that's going on in your life, if you're so distracted about this trial and that trial, and you're distracted by this thing and that thing, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. Amen? Praise God. Hallelujah. I think about some of the most ordinary things. One of the most ordinary events in our life was buying a house on 349 Price Street, Jamestown, New York. Praise the Lord, we did so. And what extraordinary things God has done in the lives of a couple, a family that live right across the street. Hallelujah. Why? Because God will use those ordinary moments. This is why we don't ever get frustrated with where you're at. If you're frustrated, be frustrated because you did something dumb to get you where you're at. But if you haven't done something dumb, just be okay with where you're at. And if you did do something dumb to get you where you're at, then repent and get over it and then move into the plan of God, because that's what he's waiting for. See, we're all caught up in, man, I screwed up real big this time. I did it really bad. It couldn't be any worse. Me, 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 me. That's what that is. The devil wants you to keep being there. Now, I'm not trying to knock you down. I'm saying you have to understand God wants to forgive you, and now he wants to use you. And if you'll listen this time, he will use you. Praise the Lord. That's all he's waiting for you, is to say, okay, it's time. I've wasted enough of my life. Now it's time. I'm going to move on into that plan of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. I see God doing that in people all the time, and I just love it. I just absolutely love it. Now, oracles there, of course, if anyone speaks, let them speak as the oracles of God. In the New Testament, the words or utterances of God himself. Amen. So if you're going to speak, you need to speak with the words of God. Amen. Well, how do you do that? Well, there's a lot of ways to do that. Number one, you get filled with the word and you preach the word. So you can do that with yourself, or, you know, just yourself. Any congregation member can do that. Or as a pastor, my job is to stay before the Lord and to learn from him and to learn how to hear from him and then speak thusly. Speak as the oracles of God. That's what I'm doing here tonight. I am not speaking by my own ability. I'm not speaking by my own desire. I'm speaking as the oracles of God. What made me come to church? The understanding that I needed to come speak as the oracles of God. Amen? But see, now here's the other aspect of it. You as congregation members, and you guys are great. You guys are here and you're receiving. Praise the Lord. But you guys, you have to remember that you're here to listen to God speaking to you. I am not God. I'm not calling myself God. But you are. When people come to church, the purpose of coming to church is to hear God speak. And the way God has chosen to speak in the pulpit or in the church is through the ministry office, the fivefold ministry offices. Amen. Again, that is not building myself up, because I'll just tell you right now, apart from Jesus, I am absolutely worthless. I am nothing. I've proved that in my life. I take no credit for anything that is good that comes out of this church. None whatsoever. I'm excited for it. The only thing I do is I just stay a willing vessel. That's it. That's literally all it is. I am not such a great man. I am not so talented. I am literally just staying willing as much as I am able, as much as I know to, as much as I can here or there. And Cora is the same way. I'm just, Lord, I just go before the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to do? I went before God. I said, Lord, today as I was driving on some errands and stuff, I said, Lord, I believe this is the message that you want me to preach. If not, show me otherwise. But unless you do, this is what I'm preaching. Praise the Lord. And this is what I'm preaching. Amen. Glory to God. As the oracles of God, understanding that there's power in the words that we're speaking. See, I love listening to a good preacher. That's my favorite thing to do. I just love listening to it. And there's some out there I love listening to. I listen to clips of them. I love Reverend Greer. One of the reasons I love Reverend Greer is because of his boldness. Hallelujah. He's a good preacher. You know what I mean by preacher? They're shouting and they're spitting and a message just ain't good unless it gets you wet. Hallelujah. That's just the way that I look at it. And there's some that I listen to, but it stirs something in me. And why does it stir something in me? Because I'm hungry for the word of God. I'm hungry for the truth. And man, when I hear it, it just excites me. It gets me. I was listening to a good preacher the other day. You can ask my family. It was just a 7-minute clip of a sermon. That's all it was. But I was in my living room just shouting and getting excited, amen, because I just wanted to get up and run and dance. Why? Because I just love the word of God. See, I receive from that. This man is speaking as the oracle of God, and I recognize it, and I said, you know what? That's for me. Hallelujah. That changes my life. Now, some of that stuff hasn't been proved out in my life yet. Some of the stuff he was preaching hasn't been proved out in my life yet. I haven't seen some of the things that he was preaching about, but I believe it. Why? Because I know it's the word of God. Hallelujah. And when it's coming out and it's the word of God and there's revelation flowing, I'm like, I just connect to it and say, yes. Now, see, it's good that we get stirred about this, but we also need to stir that in other people too. We need to get other people excited and understanding. We need to, you know, the pastor can't reach everybody and nor will I. Amen. In the sense of I'm not going to get everybody that comes through the doors, but that's our job is to pounce on them. No, we don't want to pounce on them, but you know what I mean. Praise the Lord. But stir that in people. Praise the Lord. Let's turn to James 1. Glory to God. James 1, verse 16. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Hallelujah. Do not be deceived. Oh, when the Bible says this, we need to take heed and pay attention and listen to what's being said. When it says do not be deceived, the very fact that it says that means that the contents of what you are about to read, if you don't heed them, you can get deceived very easily. Especially if you are a believer in Christ. Especially if you are a born-again Christian. Amen? You need to understand that. We are not above being deceived. All it takes is us to think wrong about one thing. And then you're deceived. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. Now, this is what we have to understand. If every good gift and perfect gift is from above, then everything that's not good and not perfect is not from above. It comes from somewhere else. Because it doesn't. He's telling us here, don't be deceived. Every good gift comes from above. Yeah. Every perfect gift. Well, you know, some people look at this and say, well, yeah, it says every good and perfect gift, but some bad things. No, that doesn't say that because it's saying don't be deceived. So he's going to be very clear on what he wants you to know, right? If I say to you, don't be deceived, I'm going to be as clear as I possibly can to get you to understand what I need you to know. Yeah. Why? Because I don't want you deceived. Yeah. You don't be deceived. That's right. Every good gift and perfect gift comes from above. Comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of his own will, he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. God intends us to produce good fruit. That is his intent. Your life is supposed to be a reflection of God's goodness and perfectness. Hallelujah. His good and perfect gift. That's what your life is supposed to be a reflection of. Amen. We got to believe that, though. Where does it start? When you fully believe it. When do you believe it? When you stop saying it's not so.
Right.
When you stop saying, I haven't seen that yet. No, you just start claiming it. Yeah. The Bible, there is something to naming and claiming. What's naming and claiming? Well, some circles, they call it name it, claim it Christians, where you just go lay hands on anything you want and it's yours. You know, go lay hands on somebody else's house. Some people think somebody else's wife. Praise the Lord. But none of that stuff is so. Amen. You can't name and claim that stuff. But it means when you find a promise in the Word and you stand on it, you say, you know what? This is mine, even if I'm not saying it yet. I am fully supplied. Why? Because I'm a tither. I'm a giver. Praise the Lord. I'm faithful to the church. I'm faithful to God. I do the best I know. I'm in God's perfect will. Praise the Lord. Guess what? You have everything you need. You won't go without. How do you know that? Well, it looks like I'm going without. That's called faith. It means you're not believing it. I don't feel fully healed yet. Don't need to. God said you were. God said you were. I see, he said, this is such a, it's such a concept that's so hard to get past. And I've struggled with it myself. But the idea of healing, I'm healed. As I stand before you today, it doesn't matter what's going on in my body, I am fully healed. Why? Because the word says I was healed. It doesn't matter if I have symptoms. It doesn't matter if I'm still healed. See, this is what faith is. It's seeing those things that be not as though they were. I don't see myself sick, therefore I'm not sick. You know, that doesn't mean that you ignore something. If you got a symptom, obviously you got to take care of it. You know what I mean? You don't want to ignore symptoms in your body. That's not faith. That's called being stupid. You know what I mean? Some Christians, they get in the faith camp and they think, well, I can ignore everything. I can go spend the way I want to spend and still give and tithe, you know, give and tithe, but go out and spend and not be a good steward of my money and God will bless me. He won't bless you. You can't, he will not bless you. Amen. You have to be a good steward. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. He wants us to produce fruit. Fruit is so important to God that he will hold up everything waiting for you to produce it. God does not mind if it takes you 8 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years until you get it. He don't mind. He does not mind. Oh, my gosh. I had to learn this, and I had to see. I finally was like, man, I want to get out of that cycle. I don't want to wait any longer. Amen. So we're not waiting on God. You don't know. You know that. Bible says that he isn't withholding from anybody. He's not. You're making yourself withhold because you won't get into what you know you need to do. Well, that's free, no charge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear. Praise the Lord. Swift to hear. Everybody say swift to hear. Why do we be swift to hear? Well, we're going to see that here. Slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. It does. Don't be deceived, brethren. Didn't we read that just a few minutes ago? Don't be deceived. The wrath of God does not produce the righteousness of God. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What is it? It's when people are slow to hear, but they're quick to speak, and they're quick to wrath. What is wrath? Wrath is really just anger. It's unbridled anger, getting mad about things that are said, not even thinking about it, just because you always got mad about it, because you always, you know, maybe because you always thought this way, and something just pet your cat backwards, and all of a sudden you're like, well, I didn't like what that was. You're quick to wrath. We don't want to be people that are quick to wrath. We want to hear. We want to understand why is what's being said. Amen? Amen. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Especially if we're hearing it from the oracles of God. Yes. The wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. When somebody gets mad and offended and they leave the church, they leave their pastor, there's no righteousness. There's no fruit. They will not produce fruit. They can't until they make that right. Until they make it right. Now, sometimes God in his grace will allow people to move on because because you know, the Bible says that there are some that produce 30, there's some that produce 60, and there's some that produce 100. Well, I just determined many years ago, my wife and I both did, we want to be 100-fold producers. To be a 100-fold producer takes something really special. It takes you being able to just constantly put down yourself to make things, you know, put down what you want. Your desires, your thoughts, the way you want things to be, all these things. It means you have to put down all of that stuff. Amen? Amen? Praise the Lord. Those who hold on to certain things, you're going to hold on to certain things. I'm not going to get quite connected there. Well, those people that won't produce 100-fold. Amen. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness. Everybody say meekness. The implanted word which is able to save your souls. The implanted word. How is the word implanted? It is implanted in the hearer by the speaker. We have to receive with meekness. When we come to church, we have to understand, when I sit with my pastor, glory to God, I know nothing. I know nothing. Now, there are times when we're talking about ministry where we'll relate things back and forth, and I will talk about things that I do know, you know, in a sense, because for the sake of the conversation, because we're trying to get answers, trying to get settled on some things. But there is this idea that people know better People are out there believing that they know better than what the pastor knows. God is not talking to the congregation about how he wants the church to run. He just won't do it. Sometimes, and I've seen this happen many times, I've seen it happen in my own church, but I saw it happen as a witness in Pastor Tim's church. Actually, I've seen it in Pastor Michael's too. Sometimes the Lord will have you do something with somebody, or will have you be extra gracious on somebody or give somebody something. He will do it, and they don't deserve it at all. They haven't qualified for it, but God will have them do it just to give them an opportunity to prove themselves or to change or to give. He did that with me. There will be people that will stand around and be like, why would pastor use them for that? Why would pastor pick them for that? Because God was being gracious on them. We don't question those things. Because if we really believe, listen, and I'll go right back to this. And I say, this is kind of, it puts our congregation in a tight corner sometimes. But I'm like, if you don't believe, if you've sat here and sat here and sat here, and you don't believe that I'm speaking as the oracles of God, you need to leave. And I'm not saying you need to leave because I'm mad. I'm saying, why would you sit somewhere and listen to somebody preach that you don't think is speaking as the oracles of God? I wouldn't do it. It's foolishness. I couldn't sit and listen to somebody tell me over and over and over again all this stuff and not believe that it was either, if God is planting me here, then by God, that the one who's speaking is speaking for God himself. Hallelujah. If you don't believe that, you're like doing yourself a disservice by sitting there any longer. Why would you sit under that? I wouldn't. Amen. I wouldn't want to. But you want to make sure that the reason you're leaving is an offense. You want to, you know what I mean? Which in that case, most of the time it is. But these are the things we have to understand. We have to understand that God is doing things. When the pastor says, okay, this is the vision for the church. We're going to do this work or we're going to do that work. It works a lot different. Listen, Corey could not happen without the people who run with it. We have a group of people that go down there every week. I don't know as though I ask anyone other than my family specifically to be there. I know that Josh and Rachel had come to me and said that they believed it was on their heart to be there. John and Liz never actually came to me about it originally. They just showed up and kept showing up. And every time they showed up, I was just super blessed by it. You know, my mom and, of course, my family. I did ask my family. I said, if we can do it, I knew in the beginning, if we could do it, praise the Lord, that we could do it. So I asked my family. I sat them all down, didn't I? I asked y'all. I said, can we start another church? And they said, yep, we'll do it. And so it takes a lot to do that. And it takes a lot of those other people. And then, of course, we have others that come down. You know, I know the Lashbrooks come down on rotation sometimes and help out. And Bob and Chris come down sometimes, you know. And all these, we need that to happen. We've seen just congregation members show up sometimes. And not that everybody has to, you understand. But we've seen people do that. All of those things matter. Why? Sometimes we're just having Mayville Church and Corey. Yeah. But you know what? Something is being planted down there. There's something that's happening. There's ground that's being plowed. The Spirit of God, he said no. Because God said when it was time, he said it was time to go and we went. Praise the Lord. And then Jesus appeared in a service. Not my ability, but Jesus appeared to Pastor Michael, which he said he's never done before. Jesus appeared to him and said, this work is of my hands. I have my hands all over it, praise the Lord, and I am working it. Glory to God, hallelujah. So we don't need anything else. And how do I know that Jesus appeared? Did you see him? I didn't see him. I didn't hear him. But the man that I know, speaking as the oracles of God, sat there and told me he did. And I know the fruit in his life, and I know the fruit in my life is connected to his life. So guess what? I believe it, hallelujah. Did you see it? I don't need to see it. I believe it. Hallelujah. I believe that that church is full in Jesus' name. There's a lot of, what is God doing? He allows us a hunger. The Bible says it. Remember I read those scriptures to you? He gave me those scriptures about the Corey Church. He said, I've allowed you to hunger to see what was in your heart. Would you still go when it's hard? Would you still go when it's plowing? Absolutely, I'll still go. I'll go there and I'll love it. God, if you want me to go down, if you want me to move down there and put my whole everything in, I'll do that. It's not what he's asking me to do, but I'm just saying, whatever God wants me to do, amen? Why do we do these things? You see, but there's people that resist that. They want to know, well, if the church isn't full yet, see, that's what I don't understand about. We're in a church plant or a church building that another church had planted a church there. Yeah. And they didn't stay. If you really believe it's of God, you think God had changed his mind all of a sudden? See, that's a lot of people. God to them is as wishy-washy as they are. Yeah. I'm not talking bad about the church. I'm just saying, if God has ordained something, then you better go follow it through. I mean, you could say that missed it. You know, you could say, well, we missed it. I'm never beyond saying that I missed it, but I know that I haven't there. Glory to God. Sometimes convincing other people of that, is. And it puts, it puts strain on us. It puts strain on us ministers. It puts strain on us financially. The churches, it takes more of our finances because we give to it, because we don't tithe to that. But we want to make sure they're supplied. So what do? We keep upping our offering to try to help make up for that. And I know others do as well, and praise the Lord for it. But this is what I'm talking about, the plan of God. And we have to know that what we're doing is moving forward in what God is doing. Now, again, not everybody's called to go down there, so I don't need everybody to show up there. That's not what I'm saying. But to be connected to it, be praying for it. If you're led to go down there, then go down there, or wherever, or whatever we're called to do. When it comes from the pulpit, when it's being preached, then we understand that it's something that God wants to do. And if it's something that God wants us to do, and He's called us here, then it's for all of us to do. And all of our fruit, individually and as a church, is connected to whatever God has us do. And this is why it's so important. We need to understand, we need to start looking at the house of God like what God is doing here is not, this isn't just church. It is not just church as usual. It is not just a church down the road that planted a church and 10 years they'll be there and they're just doing the same. No, this is a plant of God, and God wants fruit. This church will have fruit. That church will have fruit. And everything that we do will have fruit. Amen? Because we're connected to that work. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You see, God is doing some wonderful things, isn't He? Yeah. Amen. I'll just tell you what. I'm glad that I didn't go by my feelings today. Because as I'm preaching this, man, I'm stirred and I'm refreshed and I'm excited. If I had gone by my feelings, I'd have never stepped foot in this building tonight. I'm just telling you the truth. Well, but that's how Christians live. They're always living by their feelings. Sometimes you're not going to feel like coming to church. It does not matter if you don't feel like it. Go because you know that God's got something for you. See, if you know God's got something for you, then you'd be waiting there to get into the building. You know what I mean? That's just the way it is. Down in Gatlinburg, whenever I go to the Reverend Greer meetings, they just love me and my family. I'll tell you why. Because we show up an hour to an hour and a half before service, and we stand outside the door waiting to get in. Why? Because we're excited. We know that something's going to happen. Praise the Lord. They even get, the Pastor Dave, the head usher there, he even come up to me and he's like, brother, at different times they've given me seats. And I'm like, brother, you got seats. You can just show up right before service. I'm like, no, I want to be there. Hallelujah. I want to wait. And then they let us come in and pray with them. Glory to God. We were blessed by that. Amen. Hallelujah. See, it's good to run with people and to do things with people. It feels good. You got family. I mean, it'll bless you and to boot. I mean, all this stuff. And it's just exciting what God's doing. And on top of everything else, in the end, when you're in heaven, you're going to have all these crowns and this fruit because of the things that you did here. Amen? That's just exciting. Amen? Things to look forward to, too. And I love Christmas. I love Christmas past. I love all the Christmases that we've had. I love when I get blessed at Christmas time. Don't you love when you get blessed at Christmas time? But you know what? I look forward to every Christmas. I look forward to every birthday. Why? Because I know that something's coming. Amen? There's gifts coming. I am so excited for my next birthday. And the one after that, I'm not looking, wait, you're getting older. No, I'm getting more stuff. Hallelujah. Yeah, absolutely. Get older. I don't care if I got to pay a price of getting older just to get more stuff. Well, glory to God, I'll get older then. I want more stuff. You know what I'm saying? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, listen, that's not wrong. Everybody gets stuff on their birthday. If you don't let us know, we'll make sure you do. Amen. You need to get stuff on your birthday. You need to get stuff at Christmas. Amen. That's why we're in this thing, man. That's why we're in life, is to get stuff. That's a joke. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Turn me to Jeremiah 3. Glory to God. See, life is a lot more fun if you just look at it that way. Yeah. If you just enjoy it. There's times where depression tries to settle on me, tries to come back and settle on me. And then the Lord will remind me of my life. And I'm like, wait a minute. How could I be sad? I mean, I got a beautiful wife. I've got kids that I love and like for the most part. Praise the Lord. I got my mother is serving God with me, and I'm a mama's boy, so that helps. Praise the Lord. We got a wonderful church congregation, wonderful church family. I believe that anybody in this room, I could call on you at any moment. Yep. praise the Lord, and that you would help if you could. We live in a beautiful area, a beautiful town, amen. We get to travel, we get to do things, we get nice things every once in a while, praise the Lord. People bless us, hallelujah. And I don't just mean in the church, I mean just in life. I mean, sometimes we just live life and we're thinking, man, you feel rich. No, we're not. We don't have a bank that says we're rich, but we feel just loaded. Yeah. I mean, I get to go on these ministry trips where I get to get fed the Word of God and get connected to amazing ministers of God. You won't even realize. I mean, Reverend Greer is just an example of somebody who is is being used for the end day revival. Jesus himself has appeared to him. I mean, just wonderful man of God. He was just saved from death. He was literally raised. A lot of people don't know. He was just literally raised from the deathbed. Devil tried to take him out, but he couldn't kill him. Hallelujah. They had told him he was going to die. They told him the doctors had prepared him for death. This all happened just, praise the Lord. We watched the glory of God as he ministered each night. We watched his strength go from like, just increase. It was just awesome to see it happen, praise the Lord. We just saw him, literally the life of God reviving him. And by the last night, he would preach the most fiery message he had ever preached, I think, ever, that I had seen. It was just awesome. And this is God. Amen? God using him and God working. And we get connected to someone like that. Pastor Nancy Dufresne is just so awesome. I think about the caliber of minister that she is. Praise the Lord. And here, I go into her church and she comes up to me and she comes in and she sees me and she comes up to me and hugs me and knows me by name. Glory to God. You know what I mean? It's just exciting. How has all this happened? I mean, I was just an usher that was serving God and, just came into church and did what he wanted me to do. And God blessed me for it and continues to. Jeremiah 3:14. Praise God. Hallelujah. It says here, "Return, O backslidden children, says the Lord, for I am married to you. I will take you from one from a city and two from a family, and I will bring you to Zion. And I will give you shepherds according to my heart who will what? Feed you with knowledge and understanding." God said, "I will give you shepherds." He said, "Come to me and I will give you shepherds. Come to me and I'll give you shepherds." That's a pretty profound statement. Where are all the people? Where are all the people? All these Christians that don't think that they need church, don't need shepherds. All I got is shepherds, Jesus. He said, "Come to me and I'm going to give you a shepherd." That's the first thing he said he was going to do. The first thing that Jesus did when he sat it with God is he gave us the ministry offices. Here, he told us he was going to do it. Amen. Saying the same thing. "I will give you shepherds according to my heart." That think in line with the way he thinks. Amen. Praise the Lord, who loves you the way that he does. Glory to God. And then it goes on to say, "Then it shall come to pass." Everyone say, "It shall come to pass."
It shall come to pass.
That's a matter of a fact statement, by the way. "When you are multiplied and increased in the land in those days." Hallelujah. What days? After I've given you the shepherd who feeds you with knowledge and understanding. What's the knowledge and understanding for? So you know how to get multiplied and increased. God has not given us the local church to take away from our life. He's given us the local church to increase us, so we're fruit producers. Hallelujah. This is what God wanted to do. This is what the ministry office, this is why the oracles of God should mean something to us. Because the words that are being preached are trying to change our lives. That's why Jesus said, "I've come to preach the gospel to the poor and to heal the broken heart." What did he mean by all that stuff? He meant that the gospel, when somebody is preaching it and you connect to it, will change your life for better. It will. And if you're in a church and it's not happening, there's one of two reasons it's not happening. Either you're not connected to it or you're in the wrong church. Because everybody's life should change. Everybody's life should change. Healing should be something that is it's just something we live in. It's not something that we look for, we live in it. Prosperity should be something we live in, not look for, we live in it. We just live in it. Why? Because we know what the Word says. Hallelujah. And then you'll see it manifest. But we got more to read. "Be increased in the land in those days, says the Lord, that they will say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, it shall not come to mind, nor shall they remember it, nor shall they visit it, nor shall it be made any more. Now, why do we include that scripture in there? What is that all about? The Ark of the Covenant is where the power of God and the presence of God resided on earth until Jesus Christ came. The Ark of the Covenant was there. But see, it wasn't meant to stay there forever. God wanted to bring it to people. He wanted to bring us. We have the Ark of the Covenant. We have that power. We are the Arks of the Covenant, if you want to say it that way. We are the resting place of the Holy Ghost. We are the place where He works from. And so as we learn to connect to that and work from that, then the power of God becomes manifest in our lives, and we walk in it in abundance. That's what it was for. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. He loves us so much. That's what He did. Now, if we go back, I want you to just flip. Don't flip there, but just we'll go back there on the screens. 1 Peter 4:11 again. What's it say? If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. Amen. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. The oracle to speak as the oracles of God with the ability that God supplies, it comes out of that place of the Spirit on the inside. The Ark of the Covenant is, that's why He said, that's why it won't be remembered anymore. Because people aren't looking for the box anymore. The box is on the inside of us. Praise God. And so if somebody is speaking as the oracles of God, if someone is standing in that position, listen, I didn't get here by myself. I didn't sign up. I didn't say, hey, I wanted to go to school and be a pastor. And so I went and went through seminary and all that stuff. And they call it seminary, really, I think. But I didn't go through all that stuff and get trained in any specific way. I was brought up through the ranks, praise the Lord, and God placed a gift on my life that other people recognized before I did. I didn't even see it, but the Lord appeared to Pastor Michael and said, the oracles of God, and He's even told that story. So what's holding us back? Hallelujah. What's holding us back from receiving from that? You know, when we pray for the pastoral office, which you should be doing, glory to God, I don't pray enough for my pastor. I'm guilty of that. But we need to pray for that office, and the boldness and utterance and that signs and wonders be done. Hallelujah. We need to contend for those things. We need to say, hey, listen, God, this is what we desire. Recognizing that it's through Him. Most people are focused on their own darn ministry. Yeah, you're right. And not the ministry that they're sitting in front of. Yeah. Not the ministry that the Lord wants to bring out. He'll raise you up in due time. Amen. Yes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, I got one more set of scriptures to turn to. John 14. I love Tuesday nights because I don't feel so confined. I mean, I don't know how much time. I guess I could check this. It's been going for a little. I've been going for a while. We're just about done, so these really are just review scriptures, anyways. But they're I mean, good for us. But look what he says here, John 14:16, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Helper, that He may abide with you for a few years, and then He's going to leave the scene. No, that He'll abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. And I'm going to take it a step further, because this isn't stretching it. This is what Scripture says. If you're Christians that act like the world, you can't receive. You can't receive from Him, because you'll never know Him. I know people who call themselves Christians and live their lives completely devoid of the Holy Spirit. He's there. If you've really accepted Jesus, you're really born again, He's there. But they live their lives completely devoid of Him because they won't even recognize Him. Because of the world. The world cannot receive Him because it neither sees Him nor knows Him. But you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How is He coming to us? He is coming to us through the Holy Spirit on the inside of us and through those who He places in the midst of us. God could come down here and preach every sermon much better than I can, but He chooses not to do that. He could go to every church at the same time in every country and preach the same sermon or whatever sermon they needed. He could preach them different sermons at the same time, and it wouldn't even phase God. It wouldn't even be a blink. And in his introduction would just change everything. Praise the Lord. He could do that, but He doesn't do it that way. He does so through the oracles, the ambassadors, the people that he has set up to do so. And when we recognize that, when we feed from that, when we say, hey, there's something there for me to get blessed, then we'll start receiving those things. We'll start walking in those things. How do I know? Because that's exactly what my life is. My life is not a... I'm not blessed because I'm a pastor. I'm blessed because I'm a pastor, but I'm not. That's not why we see increase in our lives. We don't, you know. I've given the examples of the amount of money that we don't make, and I never do that for the sake of people feeling bad or anything like that. I do that for the sake of understanding that it's the power of God and the ability of God that works in us, because we're following the plan of God and because we're connected the way we need to. Now we're connected different than you guys connect because we're the ones who are in charge of this ministry. But you guys are called to connect to, until such time that God either moves you on or, you know, gives you your own ministry or something like that, if that's what you were called to do. But until then, it's, no, this is our direction. We're moving there together. We can't go in 15 different places. You remember on Sunday I preached, how could two walk together unless they're agreed? The same thing continuing on, unless people recognize the gifts that are before them, unless they recognize the ability to change. I look at my pastor and I look, there's my God-given ability to change. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. My God-given ability to change. And by God, it works. Yeah. It works. I'm living proof that it works. And you're living proof too. Amen.